You are listening to The Mauer Report, a live radio show that ventures into the mysteries of life, as well as the hot topics of the day, either political or business. I want to welcome everybody to the program. I hope everybody's having a good evening, or morning, or afternoon, whenever you're listening. It doesn't really matter. My guest tonight is Sean Graham of Chasing the Truth. His lovely, I don't want to say lovely little show. It's doing fine. I don't want to sound disparaging, but Sean, help me out here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. You're the only show I've been on today, so I guess I'm doing great.
Or maybe I'm doing great. I'm not sure. Let's talk about, you know what I'm going to ask you here. Give me the promo for Chasing Truth, because I don't want to forget.
Well, Chasing the Truth, you remember Dark Waters. He's been on your show a time or two. And we got hooked up about 4 years ago, vis-a-vis, I used to do some, I guess you would call chilling for you, and, kind of promote your stuff over on Twitter. And then he got wind of, hey, he can tell a story. Next thing I know, I refused to do a podcast with him for twice, and the third time he said, hey, it's time to do a podcast. When are we going to do it? And then something inside of me said, hey, there's nothing stopping you. You got all this stuff? Go for it. And I think we're working on the fourth year of me doing this. I think you and I have known each other for, a little over 5 years, or right at 5 years?
Yeah, as I say, if you've been doing your own show for 4 years, it's at least five, maybe 6 years. Where did time go? God.
I don't know. Time for me, it speeds by. It's amazing. I've had so many arguments over, well, Sean, why did you allow this to go by? It's like, well, heck, that was just a second to me ago. Since my near-death experience, it's like... 1 second is like 1 hour, is like 1 day, is like a week, a month. Boom, it's gone. It's like trying to hold sand in, hourglass sand in your hand, and it slips through your fingers. And I always joke about, I'll be 90 before I know it. And here I am, 51. I'm halfway there.
wait, let's clean this up. So, Chasing Truth, IamDarkWaters.com, Saturdays at...
Saturdays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central. I've got my own show on Wednesdays over on Chasing the Truth, Sean G., and also on the Dark Waters Paranormal Radio app on both of them. Saturday nights, I'm also carried by the Fringe.fm and all the parts and places that particular venue goes.
And you, obviously, you're still enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've started doing more shows during the week. So far, I've done counting Saturday, 3 shows since Saturday for me personally. So the people that said, "Hey, you're going to have to do more shows," well, they're getting them now. And I've got a open lines, open format that they can call in, and it's amazing to me that if I open up the lines, holy cow, they call in, and it's not that, every once in a while I'll get a prank caller, but it's impressive how many people's got so much on their minds that they have to share.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's always good to hear from people, too. And, Sean, you did apparently learn the lesson. Just those people that want more, you just tell them to tune in the next week. You don't have to do more shows.
Well, I've got a whole lot of time on my hands, so I've got to do something with it either, I don't want to burn the place down doing some sort of electrical experiment, which I was tempted to do that earlier before I got on here, so I rearranged some particular electronics in my place. But me and electricity doesn't come mix well. I'll create a spark or a fire.
I was going to say, let's not be causing property damage. Let's find a better solution for that. So I guess if that means doing more shows, we'll settle for that. So, So how are you doing? First and foremost,
I'm doing great. Can't complain. As everybody knows, we have our lows and our highs, and I'm just right there in between. And I'd rather keep be on a high note versus a low note, so I'm right in between that. Well, that's about all I can say about that.
That's fair. I agree with that. It's better to be high, but it's, you know, if you go too high, you get those lows to come with it. But so we were talking a little bit before the show, so everybody understands, because this question may seem like we're jumping into a conversation. Of course we are, because we just had a conversation. But I want to catch people up. I'm fascinated by this Dogman trend. It seems like he's building rapidly in the paranormal lexicon. Take me back to kind of what you know and when it started and all this other stuff, because it kind of, I don't want to say blindsided me, because it's been on my radar for a while, but how big it has gotten is definitely blindsided me.
Well, from my perspective, I didn't know a damn thing about. I didn't mean to say damn, but I said damn anyway. I didn't know anything about Dogman until about late 2016. And that's because of my association with Dark Waters and all of his brand entails, which he's come on here and told his Dogman stories and whatnot. Apparently, this has been a phenomenon for a long while. And I keep, just being associated with, you know, Dark Waters, I keep getting calls and, how could I say that? Calls and reports about Dogman. And I've been running a project called DogmanCams.com, which has been around for a little over a year now. And it's interesting to see what these cameras are put out, this Dogman Cam project, which is spurred on by the need to see these things, have evidence for these things. Dogman, to circle back to, you know, tell you about what Dogman is, how I learned about it. 2016 was my initiation into it, and ever since then, it's like they won't let me talk about just about anything else, but I do. Dogman is two parts. One, is it a experiment by the ABC companies of the world? Is it a genetic experiment, which you can go back to late last year or early this year? Early this year, Senate knocked down a law to forego or make it illegal to do chimeras, meaning mix human embryos with other DNA specimens of any other animal group. They knocked that down. So that opened up the door for, well, is Dogman actually a human experiment that went wrong when they mixed DNA with whatever? Well, the Senate says, yeah, it's legal. It was legal before, and it's legal now because they knocked down law to outlaw it. The other thing is it indigenous Indian folklore about shamans and other witches that have the ability to either curse you to change you into something like a werewolf or a dogman. I've had a couple, three people in the last little bit that says that's absolutely true. And actually, I've heard that for a while, that, you know, there's a component that there's a supernatural being out there that can either, you know, either it's a demonic entity that inhabits flesh, or it's just a demonic entity altogether that changes into something to scare the living yoo-hoo out of you. Then it's a natural progression. You know, it evolved, and it is so smart, so cunning, so, you know, has such a power to stay out of the way of other human beings, other than, you know, the, I guess, the lotto chance of running into one of these things out in the wild. And as we are, you know, the population, I don't know if the population is still growing in the United States or not, we're encroaching upon, you know, vast wildernesses that have never been built or occupied by human beings before. So are we flushing these things out, and they're making our presence known to us? Hey, Brian, what's going on? Germantown runner. But to go back to the Dogman thing, you know, it's like, well, two of those forks were it's flesh and blood, and two of them were, you know, it could be purely demonic entity manifesting in front of you, or it's actually somebody that's possessed or being possessed by something that causes them to look like a dog man. So that's where I got it from. That's what I've The premise I've been working on. Have I seen one? No. Do I want to see one? No, I do not. I don't want to have any of this cryptid stuff I've talked about be in front of me. I've had a lot of people say, hey, we'll take you down here and you can see this. I was like, no, you're not. You forgot. I'm in a wheelchair. The slowest is the one that winds up being the one that gets caught if they're done, you know, if something was chasing you, that's hunting you down. The slowest one's the first one. You're the red shirt in the bunch. Nope, I'm not going to do that. So there you go. Long story short, 10 minutes in, and that's what I know about Dogman.
So forgive the idiot question of the night.
Okay.
Because I have to ask it. What's the difference between Dogman and Bigfoot? I mean, obviously, I'm guessing you're going to tell me it walks on all fours and all two legs, but there has to be something else that I'm missing here.
It's all about the reports. You know, Bigfoot, it looks like a mammal, looks like a human, you know, a big ape with a man's face, more or less. Dogman, it depends on the reports, can be bigger than Bigfoot or be smaller. You know, there's varying sizes on both sides of the reports. But Dogman has a dog face or a fox face or something like that. Bigfoot has, you know, either a baboon face to actual outright human-looking face. And the Dogman apparently has more of a violent temperament toward humans versus Bigfoot. So there you go.
So you do a number of live calls, and you take bunches of these stories. So we were talking, like I said, so Dogman, Bigfoot, what's number three? What comes in story-wise at number three?
What comes in with Bigfoot and Dogman?
No, because you hear a lot of stories about Bigfoot and Dogman. What's the next topic that are people calling about? What's the next cryptid that people keep calling you about?
Let's see. There has been a couple reports of Frogman, like a 3 to 5 foot tall walking on two leg Frogman. I've had a couple, 3 or 4 reports of that. There's one guy by the name of Connor Flynn. He goes by Bigfoot Anonymous. That has a good report and had a trucker that calls in on my show almost bi-weekly or weekly. Depends on, you know, if he's out and about and hears a lot of reports. He's talked about it. Frogman. Yep. Walk at night says Frogman. Germantown Learner wants to know what about ghosties. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
But, yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we got to circle around here. I got one more cryptid question, and then we can get in the ghosts and we'll get into all this other fun stuff. We were talking about this owl, and of course, being the duck, I get concerned because you just told me about a frogman, dogman, this big owl. It's only a matter of time before somebody sees a duckman, just for the record.
A duckman, yeah. I have not seen, other than you, sir, I have not seen a duckman.
But let's talk about the owl for a minute. There's sightings of these big owls, right? I'm not making that up.
No, it popped up on my radar about 4 or 5 months ago. I've heard, you know, varying reports about it from Lon Strickler. He actually was going to call that Mothman in Chicago Owlman before Owlman or Mothman, actually, the moniker, took over, and he said, okay, Mothman. Since then, I've had several reports over the last 3 or 4 months about Owlman, from varying degrees, from truckers calling in. I saw this owl that had a 5 foot, 6 foot body length, not the wingspan, body length. And then had a guy that was a part of the Shawnee tribe, and he disassociated himself with it, and he grew up in the Shawnee tribe. And one of his dad was being groomed to be a shaman, but a dark shaman, you know, black magic shaman. And his dad refused that. But apparently his uncle picked that up and got trained as a black dark shaman. And wound up, he could change, shapeshift into owls and dogmen. Actually, there was a report during that particular interview I did with this guy that his uncle got mad at his dad for some sort of investment with cattle that fell through, and his uncle got so mad that his face actually turned into a dog. But back to Owlman, these shaman around the area in that tribal region, it didn't have to be with Shawnee. There was like three or four other tribes in there, and they the shaman stuck together. You know, they kind of bridged the gap of which tribal association he had. Dark magic, picked with dark magic. But his dad would go out when he was a kid and shoot out these owls that would propagate and, you know, hoot and cry and carry on outside of his property line. He'd shoot at him, and he said he saw his dad shoot an owl with a gun. The owl fell down and then, you know, flew off. He said the gun should have shot a hole through him. But this guy, you know, said that this owl, you know, hit the ground, got up, and then flew off. A few days later, there was this local tribe's member that was renowned as a shaman, wound up in the ER with a belly wound, gunshot wound. And he equates that to that was the owl. He shapeshifted into an owl outside of his premises, or outside of his house in a tree. And I don't know why, other than they were just saying, hey, I want to... Brian Bowden. Wow. Yeah, I saw that earlier today. But, yeah, Owlman is, by and large, you know, what I've been hearing here lately outside of what Dogman is. You can pop in Dogman, and you'll see a ton of Dogman in the search bar, and you're like, oh, wow. Owlman is kind of getting up there, you know, from my perspective. But, yeah, that's the story I'm going to give you.
And the noted Germantown runner has a good question here for you that kind of pops up right at the right time, right moment. Asking about the wood booger?
Wood booger? Well, the last fair good sighting that's close to me is over next to Whitesburg, Kentucky. And that's about maybe 75 miles west of me, give or take, as the owl flies. But there's this gentleman that he had or still has a big piece of land over there in the Kentucky mountains over there, in Appalachian Mountains. And he used to go on his land and do some research. Well, I saw on a live stream, not a live stream, well, he's done several live streams, but he posted a video of him going out there on his property and hunting for these Bigfoot. And he wound up getting hit square in the back by a rock while he's hunting for these Bigfoot on his land. And I actually saw a video, or re-seen a video earlier today where he's in his backyard, and you can hear these ungodly deep roaring screams in his backyard up in the mountains from his place. So that would be the most credible place that I've heard here lately of Bigfoot. Now, Dogman, there was a report 15 miles away from me on Highway 58 outside of a place called Pound, Virginia. And that, I didn't find out about that until I talked to Denver Michaels. He's an author and a cryptid researcher, and I read his book and had him on my show. And he talked about that in his book, and I was like, wow, that's right there next to me. You know, I've heard of Bigfoot all my life. Boogers, wood boogers, but we don't call them wood boogers here. They didn't start using wood boogers until Bigfoot, that Bigfoot research from Money, whatever his name is, Money Hunter, Money...
Chris Moneymaker.
What his name is.
Chris Moneymaker.
Moneymaker, yeah, that's it. Until his group came down here and did their little story down there, then, you know, wood booger took hold. But since I've been up as a little boy, I heard my grandmother say, get in here before the booger gets you. And I never really knew what she was talking about, other than I didn't want to meet one until my late teens, and I figured out what booger meant. It was a Bigfoot. But yeah, that's the two most credible cryptid sightings I have heard outside of Hellier, Kentucky, which is only about 30 or 40 miles from me. There's a two-part series over on Amazon Prime about Hellier, Kentucky, and it gets into the mystical stuff too much for me. But there's all kinds of craziness going over there as well.
Real-time correction from Brian Bowden. That's Matt Moneymaker. Chris Moneymaker is the guy that played in the World Series of Poker. So
Oh, Matt Moneymaker. Yeah, there you go. No, they're trying to make money either way. So
I was going to say, I wasn't that far off. I had the right. I mean, what a good last name that'd be. I guess you'd have to. Is that too much pressure, Moneymaker, to be your last name?
Probably a harbinger of or some sort of sign saying, "Hey, I'm out to make money." So he's definitely trying to do that.
I can't ask a different question before that one. Let's start with this one. What is the strangest cryptid that you've heard of?
In the last 6 months, probably this thing called Glimmer Man. It's like a dark entity, sort of like a big pile of glue oil that you can see through, and it's like a to the liking of a shadow person's shadow creature, but it's glossy and you can see through it, but it looks like a big pile of organic liquefied whatever. I've heard a couple of stories of that. I'm on the fence whether or not I can believe it, but I've heard a bunch of people tell me about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I could. I mean, anything's possible, so I can't rule it out, but I have a hard time seeing it. So I guess I have a hard time seeing
it. It's like flat Earth. It's like flat earthers. They have a hard time seeing it.
They have fans all around the world. Just calm down.
Oh, yeah. That's true. My mind is open to the flat Earth theory, but I have not got that nugget of whatever I need to say, yeah, this is a flat Earth. I haven't got that yet.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, my mind's still open.
Now, you mentioned this earlier, that you wouldn't go see a cryptid anything. But let's back up for a second, though. But if I can guarantee your safety, almost like at a zoo, per se, right? You follow me here? And you could see one. Which one would it be?
If I could see one?
Yeah.
Probably an elf. Yeah, there you go. That doesn't sound too bad, but probably elf or something like that. Something small and not very imposing.
But I told you we're at a zoo. Come on now. You can see anything. And you're going,
well,
elf?
I know. Well, if I could see anything, yeah, that'd probably be it. Just to say, yeah, I've seen an elf. But no, Bigfoot, no. I don't want to see a Bigfoot. I've heard too many people that I absolutely trust, and their descriptions to me is like, no, I don't want to see those. Dogman, I've heard descriptions of them. I don't want to be between them and a row of bars that they could easily bend on both ends. There, I don't see how you could justify safety on that, but that's just me.
Okay, so this is the traditional paranormal question. You've been around long enough to know that I love to ask this. Okay, so all these creatures you're talking about have this bad negative connotation, right? Where are the good creatures?
Where are the good creatures?
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. It depends on who you talk to and what their mood is at the same time. Fairies have a good and bad. Bigfoot have good and bad association with them. Dogmen, I have not heard but one or two stories that even say that they're, you know, tameable to a certain degree. And they, you know, they just have a disposition that they would rip through you before anything else. Other than that, everything except for a dogman, I think.
Well, you mentioned elves and you said fairies, so my mind's going, okay, but we've got creatures that are under a couple feet tall, right?
Yeah.
Both of them. By any measure, we're talking small creatures. And Bigfoot and Dogman are of proportionate size. We need a good big creature. So maybe that's what Duckman is.
Maybe that's what Duckman is. I guess the closest thing you're going to be able to get to that would be a good big creature would probably be some Bigfoot that is over in this general area, not over on the West Coast, because apparently their disposition is similar to what Dogman is. They don't give a shit about, oh, excuse my language, don't give a crap about it.
That seems so anti-West Coast, though, right? Because they're supposed to be laid back and chill.
I don't know about that. You need to go back and look at your West Coast news. You just don't want to go shopping over there right now, I don't think. But there you go.
I don't think I want to go shopping anytime, anywhere, any place. But, you know. It is the season for that.
True enough.
Okay.
But, the biggest thing that I could think of that would be halfway, you could probably find something good about them. I've heard a bunch of people that have encountered Bigfoot and had good, authentic interactions with them in the last 6-7 months. They do a lot of mind speak to you, and they're fearful of us, and they want to stay away from us, but they're attracted to a few of us that have that degree of the ability to mind speak to them, and they want to interact with them for whatever reason. And depending on, there's a whole different shift in the paradigm that I have encountered in the last year, that these Bigfoot have their own culture, similar to like what we would consider back in the old days of Indians running around in a tribal mentality. To that particular point, they don't, it's like the Mennonites or the those type of people, that culture that does not want to have anything to do with electronics. Make them into 8 to 10 foot tall creatures with big hairy arms and pits and stuff like that, and put that same disposition with them. They don't want to have anything with us. They just want to, be around their own. That would probably be the best thing I would say, that would be the closest thing to a good cryptid I could come up with.
Okay, so let's pause for a second here and think about this. I'm struggling. So I'm going to go to Germantown Runners. I'm struggling. So I'm going to go to Germantown Runners question. Okay. All so right. Germany's scary Krampus, who is said to be alive in the Alps, he gets popular this time of year. What do you think?
I have not personally, other than outside of the pop culture reference, I've not heard of any stories about Krampus. So, Germantown Runners has heard about this German entity that's called Krampus and heard real, in the last few years. I have, honestly, that's one, if you call him a cryptid, I have not heard one word other than a pop culture reference that I could come up with.
So Cat Ward wants to know where you can find information about Glitter Man, because I can't assume that'd be a good Google search.
Glimmer, Glimmer Man.
Oh.
Not glitter.
No, glitter would probably glimmer. Glitter. Do not.
Yeah,
search
don't.
Glitter.
Oh yeah, don't do a glitter man. You'll probably get into deep dark recesses of a hole that you'll be like, oh, why does Google think I like that?
Yeah, I was gonna say that'll definitely change your ads for a while. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Or maybe you should. Anyways,
I don't think I've researched Glitter Man. I don't even pretend that I want to do that.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Okay, so let's shift gears seamlessly at this point. Ready for this? Let's take me back, because I know you had a traumatic event and a near death experience and all that stuff. I don't know how far you want to get into any of that, but I'm just gonna open the door to you and let you go on that.
Oh, the near-death experience. Well, yeah. 6 years ago, on the 17th of this month, I wound up in the ER after a car accident that was my fault. Without a doubt, it was my fault. Luckily, I was the one that got the broad side of that sword, and I lost my left leg. Fast forward 10 days in a coma, and doctors telling my family that... they don't have any hope for him living past, 3 or 4 days into me being in a coma and going through 2 complete amputations of below the knee and above the knee. I wound up being in ER on a stretcher, and a doctor colleague of mine that I'd known for a good 8 or 9 years said, Sean, you've got a 30-40% chance of surviving the surgery alone, not to, you know, not being able to survive afterwards, and, you know, just surviving the surgery. You know, at that time, my leg looked like it was Freddy Krueger had gotten a hold of it and done some. And at that point, I got faced with the instant reality that, hey, Sean, this is it. This is, you know, this is the point where everybody dreads in their life. I'm going to die. And I got that point. And I said, well, okay, God, I, you know, I did the whole thing. My brother was there and my sister was there. And I said my piece to them and asked for forgiveness. And I did the sinner's prayer and asked for forgiveness from God. And the doctor said, hey, I pushed a lot of drugs on you. You're going to feel real sleepy, and then we'll take you back to the do the OR thing with you. And next thing I know, after all that, I slipped off into darkness. And I stayed there for, oh, eternity, I guess. And then again, it was just a second. I would wake up and, I guess, in the darkness and see what I thought were one eye, but it was not anything. This is kind of a strange, I mean, I don't know, should I? Why not? This, yeah. I only got about 30 more minutes. Yeah. Let's go down this strange track of this thing. So I, you know, screaming and hollering in this darkness, and the first thing I see that I could say, hey, I saw something, was this eye opens up in front of me. But it wasn't a human eye. It was a reptilian eye. And it closes. And it opens it up again, and another one off in the distance opens up. And then one closes and the other one closes, and I'm in darkness forever and a day. And it opens up again, and another one opens up again. And until I am, fast forward, I'm completely surrounded by these eyes closing and opening and all this other stuff. And then I hear this voice in my head, Sean, why did you do this? And I'm thinking, at that point, I've already surmised that, hey, this might be my transition over to death. Maybe this is my life review. How would this voice know that I was doing this particular event? And went through this whole question-answer session for I couldn't tell you how long, until the very point was I was a little kid in this little coal camp. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, maybe four, my late aunt had me go down to the local feed store to go pick up something. I think it was bread or something. And I hadn't remembered this. Couldn't tell you the last time I thought about that up until that point. I got asked about it. I was walking down the railroad track to this feed store, and I got asked about, why did you pick up that Coca-Cola bottle cap off the train track? Look down at the, you know, it was like I was transported back to that point. I was a 4 or 5 year old kid, and I thought, what in the hell are they asking me about something I did when I was 4 or 5 years old? Why did I pick up a bottle cap at the age 4? So I lost it, and I said, is this what the afterlife is all about? And then I started cussing like a sailor, and then I proclaimed, dear God, if this is the end of it, please take me on. And then all of a sudden, all the eyes in the around me closed, except for two sets of eyes. And it was off in the distance, and those eyes were connected to this reptilian creature floating in front of what I now think of as a opal about the size of a big mansion door. But it had that pearlescent coating that you would see on a car, but it was always swirling. You know how you would move from one vantage point to the next, and that pearl coat on a white car would change in the rainbow of a spectrum of color. That's the way that thing looked. So I got curious and said, well, I'm dead. Ain't much that thing can do to me. So I'll go over to that thing and say, what are you looking at? And this thing acted like it was shocked that I could see it, and it moved back like it was afraid of me. So I was like, well, what are you looking at? And I looked into the opal, and there was somebody similar to me, you know, not me, but somebody similar to me, and I could hear countless voices talking to this thing, you know, asking them similar questions to me. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? I look back at this reptilian and say, why are you doing this to people? So, this thing, at that time, I was not afraid of it at all, and I'm not afraid of it now. It was just one of those curious starts to enormous time and things that I could think about every day. After that, what's transitioned me over to being in heaven is I got curious about that opal. I forgot about that, the reptilian. I was like, yeah, never mind about that thing. And I started, reached out, grabbed, you know, kind of put my hand on it, and then all of a sudden, it was like putting your hand in a warm bucket of goo. Kind of feeling. And then I tried to pull my hand out of it, and it was either I fell into the opal, or the opal come toward me and engulfed me. You know, I haven't really made, you know, kind of thought about it. And then it was like every sense that I could have exploded. It was like being in the middle of Times Square on Christmas Day, and all you could hear and see and feel was magnified to infinity. And I remember, you know, kind of being in a fetal position. And then all of a sudden, it was like I got used to it, used to all of that sensation, bombardment of intense sensations, I guess, for lack of a better word. And then things started to become clearer, and it was like my senses exploded. I was everywhere at once and nowhere at once. And the first thing I recognized was this energy in front of me, which people have asked me, what did it look like? Well, if you could see a ball of energy from every angle all at once and simultaneously and inside of it at once, that's it. But it was an angel that accompanied me throughout the rest of the journey through that near-death experience. And people have asked me about, what was his name? What was this angel's name? And I can't really tell you what the angel's name was, other than this angel had a distinct feelings, like you walking in, or you've been in a room, say your wife walks into the room and you can feel her presence, you know it's your wife, but you haven't visually blocked eyes with her, but you know it's her. That's similar to how I explain what this angel's name was. But at that point, then I usually stick the moniker of, I call this name Bob, just as a, you know, kind of a lighthearted joke, but actually not having to explain, hey, you remember that angel I told you that, you know, the name was a feeling kind of deal? You know, stick the name of Bob. And then I asked Bob, well, why am I here? What are you doing here? All this stuff. And he said, I'm here to help you remember. Not help you, not to explain to you. I'm here to help you remember. And from that point forward, I was like awestruck. Everything I could think of, imagine. I knew the answers automatically, and I wish I'd come back with that to Encyclopedia Galactica with me, but I didn't. I come back with a dumb bucket of coal rocks. That's about it. But let's see. How much time? That was 8 minutes. That's the fastest I got through. I got through that first part in a long time. But, you know, I spent 2 hours telling this NDE thing, and I didn't even... Actually, I've spent countless hours talking about this NDE thing, and I have yet to even scrape the surface of it. Well, but got any questions?
I have several. So tell me about the first time you told somebody, though, because it had to have been an awkward conversation the first time you went through it.
First time I talked to anybody was a doctor at the bedside. I can't remember the guy's name. And I can honestly tell you, for the first 3 months after the fact, I was in another hospital, and I was on all kinds of the heavy-hitting drugs that you would want out on the streets, but I was on. And I will divulge that to tell you, hey, I experienced a whole lot. But First time I told anybody was a doctor. I said, I had this experience while I was under. And he asked me what it was. And I said, I met God. And he kind of looked at me and didn't say anything. But the next guy was another doctor. And he said, he believed me. And he started praying with me. Here's the weird thing. After all the going through the entire NDE thing, I wake up in a hospital about 40 miles from me with nurses praying over top of me. And I'm not on a ventilator. Apparently, I was transported without a ventilator, and I was just waking up from being in Gaga land. But the first memory I have of anything outside of the NDE is being prayed over by a couple of nurses. Now, is that weird or what?
That is. Now, do you think if you would have told them that you met anybody besides God, their explanation would have been the medicine?
No. The first doctor, jotted it down. I don't know what he jotted down. I hadn't looked at the medical records or anything while I was there. And I kind of don't want to look at it because there was a whole lot of strange happened after the fact, with my own family, my sister in particular, and my niece. Actually, I predicted that my niece was pregnant while I was in the hospital. First day I got out of the bed after being, recovery, first day they got me out of the bed, put me up, my niece and my sister came to me, and I don't know what the hell we were talking about. But first thing I noticed that I can remember is out of my niece came this little glowing blue young child. It was sort of like it just, emanated from her. And then he hops off of the my niece's lap, looks up at me, smiles, and does a little sailor salute, and exits stage left. And my sister and my niece looks at me and says, Sean, you all right? And I said, you didn't see that? See what? A little kid just popped out of my niece right there. And they kind of look like, nurse, there's something wrong with Sean. Well, at that time, my niece did not know she was pregnant. About 2, maybe 3 weeks later, I get a text message from my sister with a sonogram of my now great-nephew. Which, quite honestly, he looks like that little boy that popped out of my niece. So, I don't know how that happened, but that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
So, I guess I've got to ask this because this is relevant. How were you with the paranormal, spirituality, cryptid stuff before all this stuff happened?
Well, with Bigfoot and the... Dogman was not even on my radar before all this stuff. Yeah. Bigfoot. Yeah, I knew about Bigfoot, and it was interesting. I've got some, anecdotal stories from my childhood that I kind of, say, well, that might have been Bigfoot, but Bigfoot related. But was it right there on the cusp of me saying, hey, I want to know everything about Bigfoot and this? I was more into learning about the Catholic religion, but I was not Catholic at all. I had a mindset of, I know who God is and what God is, or I thought I did. But, my goal during that whole thing was not even close to what I'm talking about now. Did I have ghost encounters? Oh, heck yeah, sure did. Had plenty of people come to me while I'm doing sleep studies or as a respiratory therapist mode of working. Saying, hey, I saw this, or there have been several people over the course of my career as a respiratory therapist, as they're transitioning to death, dying, they would see unseen people and start talking to them like they're coming to, kind of take them on. And they were all happy. I saw several people that was almost comatose, wake up for a few hours and able to converse, but they would start talking to people that weren't there, and then they transition and then pass away. At first, I thought, well, why in the heck am I seeing this? And then now I look back on it, and it was like a gift. I saw that, and I look at it as a gift, a blessing that I was able to spend the last few moments with somebody before they passed. But if I had any kind of real interest, it would be in a ghost thing and ghost hospital stuff. I saw all kinds of shadow figures while I was working in the hospital. I tried to call in to Art Bell when he was part of the Sirius radio family. He had spooky matters or something like that. And I sent in a two-paragraph thing to outline an encounter with a shadow figure in the ICU room. And I got a call from, I think it was a California number, late one night when this spooky matters was on, but I worked like 12 or 14 hours that day, and I passed out when I got home and missed that call, unfortunately.
So
I guess that's a long, short answer of that.
Yeah, well, hold on. I've got a loaded question, but I got a story first. So you're a respiratory first. But so before we get in the ghost, everybody, just give me 45 seconds of Sean's time because he'll get a kick out of this. A couple of years ago, I went to get a sleep study done because I now have a CPAP, so you know how I have sleep, right? And in order to qualify for the CPAP, you have to have so many events within certain window of time for insurance to pay for it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm right at that, I'm 10 away in that first 45 minutes of the 3-hour window, right?
Mm-hmm.
The respiratory therapist is comfortably sure she's going to be waking me up before midnight and sending me home, right? So she starts.
I don't know why, but okay.
Well, she starts, making all the notes and getting ready. In that next 2.5 hours, I don't have any events. I was 10 short of the number, right? And then at the 3.5 hour mark, I start continuing to have them, but I never have enough in the window that would qualify me. And she's like, "You're the closest person I've had, but we have to come back and do it again." She's like, "You have a bunch together. And then you stop for a while. And then you have a bunch together."
So did you stay for the? How long did you stay there?
I stayed there that whole first night. The whole first night and the whole second night.
Well, I would have berated my employees if they woke somebody up at 3 hours and say, "Okay, go home." Just because, I'm like, why would you want to wake somebody up after 3 hours and say, "Okay, we got enough, go home"?
I don't like. Whatever. If that would have been
done, ticked me off. But
I don't much. I'm more conflicted now that I'm telling you the story. Would I have been more ticked off after waking up 3 hours and been done, or having to come back for the second night? I'm not sure now.
Well, I don't know. I can look at it as an inconvenience from a perspective of a sleep patient saying, "Hey, if 3 hours. We get enough, you get to go home, and then you spend the entire night, and then you have to come back." Yeah, I could see that from a perspective of being preloaded with the intentions or the anticipation of, "Hey, I've only got to do 3 hours of this, and I'm home." Yeah, I could see your perspective, yeah.
Yeah, so. But okay, so let's talk about ghosts, Ben. We haven't done that yet, and we're running out of time. Are you still hearing any good ghost stories?
Are you talking about me personally or other people?
Yeah, or from your show, or because it's been a while since I've heard a good one. Recent one. I mean, recent one. Not. I mean, everybody's got one that's
fought.
Yeah, but recently.
Let's see. Last night, had a caller that called in about a shadow figure that she experienced when it was probably about 10 years ago. Her now 20-some-year-old son, in the first months of his life, she saw this shadow figure. In her house and around her house, and no matter where she moved to, it was always there. But one afternoon, sometime during the day, she walks into his son or her son's area where she kept a crib, and there stands this shadow figure holding her son up by the ankle and then drops him into the crib. And she said she had so many, I'm kind of dumbing down and shortening the interaction with her, but she's had so many interactions with this shadow figure to the point, and I said, "Well, you probably need to go talk to a priest or somebody that is pretty close to God and have a in-depth discussion with this person." And she said, "Should I go to whatever or whenever?" I said, well, do you want somebody that's out there trying to figure out, well, is this thing real, or you want somebody that's actually going to try to help you if this actually is some sort of demonic entity or whatever that's doing this? But can you imagine walking into a room and your infant son has been held up by a shadow figure that's solid as a rock, holding it up, and as soon as you make eyes in contact with it, he disappears and your son hits the crib.
Can
you imagine that?
I'm trying to figure out why you're not figuring that out, like, yesterday. Calling people and freaking out and moving. And no, I mean, because it's one thing that's true with right?
I'm just saying, though, right?
I understand it's called on your show. I'm just saying, as a parent, right? If somebody's freaking out with my kids or freaking with my kids, I mean, you could mess me up all day. But screwing with my kids is a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you mess with a kid, you know, it would behoove me if I had a kid and something like that was going on. I would be all way around trying to figure out, well, how do I stop this thing?
Yeah, especially if it's dropping my young job.
Yeah. Well, now he's apparently 20-some years old, and he has his own paranormal experiences and yada, 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 but she's still, you know, encountering these supernatural events in her life. So, you know, that's the newest one I had heard, you know, other than, you know, trying to voice what I have encountered in my own home. You know, that's probably the newest one.
Cause see, I haven't had any good ones lately. So, I don't know.
Well, do you still do that paranormal investigation stuff, or have you kind of laid that to the side for a little bit?
It's been down for a while now. I mean, I haven't done any. So, but that's probably, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, sitting in the dark for hours and then listening to it for weeks is time consuming.
Yeah, my 4 or 5 hour investigation, and you go on over every inch and second of whatever recorded media you've got. Yeah, that could be mind numbing for sure. Yeah.
So, Trevor Thunderrunner wants to know if we're in the midst of the quote official unquote disclosure of existence of ETs.
I think for whatever reason, it's a political football. For the politicians saying, hey, we're going to do this to get the, you know, those fringe votes, you know, kind of make it the, hey, I've got a little bit more voting voters behind me than usual. I don't think from a standpoint of politicians saying, hey, we're going to tell you that these UFOs are out there. If we have disclosure, I think it's on the behalf of the actual UFO occupants to disclose that to us without a doubt. But, you know, what was that 16-page document that Congress released from the archives and saying, hey, this is what we know from the FBI point of view, which is a big nothing. They added, another weather balloon or a balloon falling was the only confirmational piece of evidence that they could come up with other than, I think, like a half a dozen more. We don't know what it was.
Well, my question is, we were supposed to get Kennedy documents, was that 2 years ago? And we still can't get them. Mm-hmm. And that we swear up and down that was one guy, right, acted alone. Right, that's the official story.
Yeah, the
but we can't get all the documents.
Yeah, the babushka lady is supposedly a well-known figure now. Somebody actually knows who she is. And they've got the evidence of that camera that she was using. That she was like feet away from when Kennedy got shot in the head. So I don't know where that evidence is.
I don't know. And it's funny because as we were talking about that, I see Germantown Renner was asking us about that. We real time beat Germantown Renner in something. Mark that on the calendar.
Holy cow. Well. There you go.
Every once in a while. Every 4 or 5 years, that happens.
Jeff K is one of those fascinating things. I jump down that rabbit hole a little bit and then, you know, bounce back and say, well, there's nothing there other than we won't know. Now, whether whatever it was a combination of he was trying to put us back on the gold standard or he pissed off the wrong person or whatever, I think it's all above that was the causal factor of him leaving the job. Yeah, being escorted out with a bullet. I think that's about it.
Yeah, there's always more to that story that we just haven't figured out yet. And I don't know if we ever will, like you said, sadly.
No, how long has that been? That's going on 60 plus years now, something like that. Yeah, maybe in a century. Maybe in a century, your kids' children might hear some sort of news story. Hey, this is why JFK got assassinated. Maybe.
We can help, right?
Yeah. But I believe we'll be long gone before that, and we'll already know that answer if that's what we want to know. I don't think that's... That wasn't on my radar list of when I was over there in near-death experience. Who shot JFK? No, I didn't. That didn't come to my mind at that time.
Yes, and we got to give a shout out to the assassination of MLK, which is going to be a topic on this show in the coming weeks.
Oh,
so
interesting. Well, yeah. that's another JFK level kind of thing.
It is, and I didn't realize that until I got my hands on this book, and now I'm kind of learning more because
kind of wonder.
Starting to
How
wonder.
How many books you got so far over the course of the last, 8 or 9 years you've been doing this?
10. And I'm looking at the shelf.
10?
I've got 2.5 shelves full of books. So you do the math on that. From people from different
years. I've got 2 books and a coloring book in the post office that somebody in my last author that I interviewed just came in Saturday. So I haven't been to the post office to grab those yet.
I guess that doesn't count the ones I've given away either, so that's probably more than that. God, because you get so many
your
of
favorite
them.
Author to, okay, here's the thing. Favorite author you've ever interviewed?
Favorite author I've ever interviewed? Well, Brad Melzer.
Brad Melzer. I've heard of him, but...
the guy from Dakota on the History Channel? You've seen him. You know him.
Probably. Sounds familiar, but I can't...
If you've seen a picture of him, you know him.
Okay.
Is that a cop out?
Because he's kind of you've had probably, so many cream to the cream guests on your show. I have the best. I've had a few handful of good guests on my show, but nothing to the caliber you had so far.
No, but you do the live calls, and you're enjoying that too. So there's the paradox, right? And that's why.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I've had Germantown Runner on my show.
Well, he's never been on this show. So, you know, he's hosted the show.
He's never been on this show?
He's never been a guest on the show. He's hosted this show, but he's never been a guest on the show. Figure that one out.
Had Kat on my show. Let's see. Who else was in here? Had Brian Bowden. He called into my show. Wasn't a guest, but he's a fascinating caller. I've had most, not all, but I've had most of the people that's in your chat room right now on my show.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. It's one of those things when you chase the truth, you get some interesting people in your rearview mirror, and then right there in the front row of you, and you talk to them. You say, "Well, I didn't know you knew all that stuff."
Yeah, every time I listen to your show, you're always racked with callers, so I don't feel the need to call in because you've got interesting people on the line, and so, which is good.
Well, here's the. What I have seen. When I start one of these open line call sessions, it takes about 20 minutes to maybe 40 minutes for the calls to come in. Then after that, 2 hours have passed, and you're like, well, do I want to keep on going? And then, all of a sudden, as soon as I recognize, hey, 2 hours have passed or 3 hours, and I've recognized that, okay, I usually call it last call for alcohol. This is your time to call in.
So speaking of Sean, it's been good to talk to you, but I'm out of time.
You're out of time?
I'm out of time.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you
Thank soon. You for listening to this episode of the Mal Report. Stay tuned for details on saving money at the Duck Pond Shop. I hope you enjoyed this report. Please subscribe so that you can join us again. And if you appreciate the show, leave us some stars or a review. For more notes from this show or other great shows, check out Mallard.com. A reminder, the views and opinions of this show are those of the host and guests and do not represent any sponsors, affiliates, or any other partners of the Mallard Report. Now for your money-saving tip. Promo code Mallard at checkout of duckpondshop.com. where you can get your t-shirt, coffee mug, and other great products. That's promo code Mallard at checkout, duckpondshop.com. Until next week, stay safe and keep quacking.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.